Good. We are moving more deeply into Satipatthana territory. We have practiced for the first few days body-based awareness on posture, on breath. We have then shifted part of our attention to the Vedana aspect of pleasure, displeasure, still by staying with the breath as our main object of practice, as the main focus of attention, and this continues. So our practice uses as a mainstay, as the main area of where we go to with our attention, the breath, the sensations of breath, the coming of sensations, the change in sensation, the disappearance of sensation. This is still a constant aspect in your practice. So this is the way the mind becomes more still. Attempting to make the mind more still has probably brought to your notice that there are parts in your mind that are not still. Not just thoughts, which are the obvious things that are not still, but you probably have encountered recurrent themes in your life or in your heart, things that come again and again. So it makes sense that some of the obstacles in meditation we just put aside. We know that the thinking is not really profound, or this is just a distraction, or this is just a little fantasy or a little memory, and it makes sense to just put these aside without giving these any further thought. But you may have identified a couple of particularly tenacious things, things that keep coming back. People you keep having to think about, themes that keep coming back, or states of mind that you keep experiencing again and again and again. So, our next stage of practice entails something that is more difficult than just watching pleasure or displeasure, or then coming back to the breath and coming back to the body. If we look at the teaching of Citta Upasana in the Satipatthana texts, as I told you there are several, then the teaching there speaks of looking at states of mind. Some of these states ask whether the mind has qualities of desire, whether the mind has qualities of anger and aversion, whether the mind is shrunk, is contracted, whether the mind is expansive, big, open. It asks whether the mind is collected, concentrated, unified, or whether the mind is scattered and fragmented. So the teaching of the sutta asks to actually look not at mind content, at the individual thought, but at the general tone, at the general climate of mind. To be able to do that, you need to be able to both experience your breath on one side, this is what gives you the stability, and on the other side, it is necessary that you disregard the actual content of your images or of your thoughts. Normally a thought comes and we want to talk to that thought. We either believe it or we disbelieve it. We agree with it. We say, yes, you're true, you're right, you're important. Or we say, no, you shouldn't be here, this is not true, I'm not agreeing with you, you're saying something wrong. Or we don't want to have it. We say, you're not happening, it's not happening, no. You shouldn't be here, you're not allowed to be here. So we talk with the thought. Now, this doesn't work for Citta Upasana. We don't talk with thoughts, but we notice the quality, the general tone. We notice the voice of the thought. We're not listening to what it says, but we're listening to the sound of the voice. If you have ever traveled to a foreign country, which I think you do, then it is much easier to listen to the sound of the voice if you don't understand the language. So if I listen to Hebrew, I don't understand enough of it, but I can listen to the sound of the voice. I can listen to people. These are nice people. These are angry people. These are impatient people. I can listen to that. So I suggest right now we shift our emphasis, and what I say applies only to things that are recurrent in your practice. Yeah? So rather than treating things that keep coming up in your meditation and you put aside as distractions, rather than defining them as distractions or as obstacles or as things to come back from, some of the things that keep coming back, we actually start to investigate. Now, don't investigate everything. It's not worth, and you don't have the time. Life is short. You know? You want to investigate the big ones. You want to investigate the ones that keep coming back. Yeah? Generally, either if it is voices you hear, if it is, you know, qualities of thought, then listen to the sound of the voice. You're not listening to the melody, you're listening to the sound. You're not supposed to believe or disbelieve the actual statement. You just listen to the sound of the voice. Do you think, is this an angry sound? Is this a greedy sound? Does this, what does speak here? Longing or anxiety? Or what is it actually? Is this sad? Is this a sad voice? So you get in touch with the quality of emotion behind the actual message. You get in touch with the climate of mind. If you think of citta as the place of your experience, as the locus, the habitat of your experience, a citta that is always in a particular state. Sometimes this state is pleasant or not pleasant, sometimes this state is angry or sad, bored, attentive, expansive or narrow. We want to get in touch with the energy of that climate, the nature, the quality of the climate of your mind state. So that means you need to be able not to talk to the thought or to the image of the state, but you need to be able to get in touch with the energy behind it. One way of doing this is by simply dropping, you know, if you've all gone to chemistry classes, I'm sure, you drop the litmus paper into your mind. You say, oh, okay, what is this? So much anger, so much greed, so much sleepiness, so much boredom, so much sadness. Yeah. And then you pull out the paper and you say, okay, yeah, you've been there, you can do that. So rather than speaking about the story that is sad or the story that makes you angry or that story that makes you slightly interested or longing or greedy or jealous, you go just for the quality. You acknowledge the quality of mind behind the specific image, or the specific thought, the specific discursive activity of mind. This is not quite easy, because any of those qualities generally has a very convincing plot, a convincing narrative. Yeah? So most of us don't get clean emotions. You know, generally you don't get clean anxiety. You get anxiety that is focusing on his person, or on that person, or on this situation, or on that activity. Yeah? Sometimes you get clean emotions. People have panic attacks. It's a very clean emotion. Yeah. You have no proper reason initially, and it's suddenly there. Yeah. Overwhelming fear. Yeah. And then your body goes into a reaction of fear. And then generally, because once these reactions become very strong, you know, your blood pressure goes up to 220 or something like that, your fear starts focusing on the physical state of your body. Yeah. Then you start getting afraid that you die of this. Yeah. But initially it started off as very clean emotion. Sometimes we are clean in our grief. Yeah. Or we are clean in our rage. That's possible. But most of the time, our rage, our anxiety, our grief has a story. And the story says, I never got, or I always get, or it says, you did hurt me, or I feel alone, or you know, or I have done things I feel ashamed of. You know. So for Chittanupassana, it is necessary that we are strong enough to not go into the story. If we go into the story, we're part of the story. You know. So the challenge for Chittanupassana is finding the right distance. You know. I think I have mentioned that I have a feeling sati, mindfulness, is not a technique, is not a particular state of mind, but it's a consistent relationship to the experience of your mind. Now, for some relationships, being very close is just the right relationship. You know? For some relationships, having distance is the right relationship. So you need to learn to find out the right relationship to your quality of experience. You know? If you go too close, generally the experience pulls you in. Yeah, and you're part of the story that you wanted to investigate. You become part of the problem. You join the emotion. You enact the emotion. You invest into the emotion. That means you're sitting here thinking the story of the emotion. That's not Chittanupassana. That's called thinking. When you notice this happens, it's time to go back to the breath, time to go back to the posture, leave the story behind. Stop trying to investigate or getting in touch. Just go back to the breath and do what we have done the first few days. Allow yourself to be still. You have to be ready to do shuttle diplomacy. Yeah. To go to the breath and make the mind still, and then you look what stops the mind from getting even more still. And then there will be generally something there. And then you see whether you can get closer to this something, whether you can get in touch, whether you can get a feeling. What is this truly? Is this night tight or is it open? Is it flurry or is it condensed? Is it hard or is it soft? Is it loving or is it angry, sad, jealous, conceited? You try to get slightly in touch. What is this? And you try to hold your distance. You don't fight it. You don't try to dissolve it. Or just kind of use your samadhi laser gun and say, no, that's not the point. You can do that. That's quite, it's an interesting exercise. You know, particularly men love to do things like that. Or anybody who is into control, and this is not just men actually, you know, it may be quite powerful if you can do that. Particularly, you do that with sword. You know, you have your zap gun, and you just kind of, there is something that moves, and zap, zap, zap. Feel quite nice, you know, but it doesn't really resolve much. So right now, it's not the zap gun time. It's kind of getting in touch. It's in relating to the quality of mind, to the climate of mind that stops you from deeper stillness, from deeper clarity, because these things have something to do with your life. Yeah. So instead of turning away and labeling them as obstacles or hindrances, we take just a few select out and try to relate to them. Hold our distance, feel more closely, get in touch more closely. What is happening there? Is this really what it looks, what it feels like? Can I hold my distance when I go closer? Or does it suck me in? Or does it repel me? Does it pull me away? Push me away, sorry. If it does pull you in or push you away, you go back to the breath and you try again, yeah, after a while. But there's three questions that can help us with this. The first one is the litmus question. If I drop this litmus paper into my mind right now, what is this current state of mind? Yeah. What is the climate of my mind? What is the tone of my mind? Yeah. Does it welcome my interest? Is it friendly? Is it spacious? Is it tight? Is it afraid? Is it sad? Sometimes this comes with colors or with textures. So find out how your mind state feels like. it's important that you don't think about this, but that you feel. It's you go in there and you get in touch with it. It's not you go up there and you look at it from down. Yeah, that's not it. It's you approach this, you inhabit this space. You inhabit the climate of your mind carefully, respectfully, and you find out what it actually is. You breathe into it and you see whether something changes. You see whether you can stay there. If you can stay there, you go a step closer. So the first question would be, how is it now? How can I find the quality of this mind's current experience, present time, present tense? The second question that is very useful, if you meet a thought or you meet imagery that keeps recurring in your mind, and then you ask yourself, what is the energy that propels, that pushes, that moves the thought or that moves the image? Yeah. Is this sadness, anger, fear, love, rage, greed? What is this? Yeah. You close your eyes and you keep seeing dead cats, yeah? Dead cats, dead cats, dead cats, you know, and after a while you think, what is that? You know, why? You know, what is behind these dead cats? You know, what is the kind of energy that comes? Yeah. It's not loving kindness, is it? It's not, no, it's probably not loving kindness. So, yeah, you try to not think about cats and the cat you had when you were a child and the cat your neighbor has and whether the cats here get enough to eat and, you know, that they're probably full of fleas and lice and they shouldn't be into living rooms and you don't do that kind of story, cat story. Yeah. You think, what is behind these images of dead cats? Yeah. For example, you're trying to get in touch with the quality of mind that is behind that. The third question would be, this is particularly true for thoughts and also images. You ask yourself honestly, if I follow this thought now, where does it take me? I don't think I am the only one to have found out that most of my thoughts are not actually new. They're not actually very creative or original. Most of my thoughts are warmed up. I have thought most of my thoughts before, you know, and it gets worse as I get older. Yeah. So I gather I'm not alone in this, that many people's thinking is rehearsing. Yeah, it's repeating. The story comes back. So I keep thinking the same thoughts. And after a while, you know, if I think this thought now and if I jump the train of that thought, and if I do that for 3 minutes, I know where I will land. Yeah. In 3 minutes, I'm lonely and greedy and frustrated. In 3 minutes, I'm going to be depressed. In 3 minutes, I'm going to be sad. In 3 minutes, I'm going to be feeling helpless. Yeah. So you ask yourself, this thought now, which I probably know, if I believe it, if I follow the thought, if I allow the association of more thoughts in this direction, where does it take me? It will throw me onto some cliff. It will throw me onto some beach. A beach I have probably already been. Yeah, I have stranded there many times, you know, like one of these big whales, yeah, that strand in New Zealand. You kind of get beached, and there you lie, a big, blobby whale. Can't get off, feeling sad, dying. So, three questions. How is it now? What is the climate? What is the state of mind right in the present moment? Another question, if you look at recurrent imagery, recurrent thinking patterns, what is the energy that propels these thoughts, these images? Yeah. Think of the thoughts like sailboats going across the sea, and you're asking not the sailboat, you're not interested in the sailboat, you're interested in the wind that pushes the sailboat. Yeah? What blows the thought sailboats across, you know, your lake? Where does the wind blow from? Which corner? The anger corner, or the sadness corner, or the greed corner, or the love corner, or the inspiration corner, or the, you know, the the joy corner. You want to get in touch with the direction of wind rather than the individual sailboat. That's question two. Question three, you ask not where does the wind blow from, but you ask where does it take the mind to? To what place does this thought or this image take the mind? When I follow this, when I join this, when I engage with this, where does it take me? Into which state? Does it make me happy? Does it make me sad? Does it make me gentle? Does it make me helpless? Does it make me angry? Can you recall these questions? Whenever you have written them down, I've seen it, so you will recall. Whenever you feel this is confusing, this is happening too much, I don't have enough ground, I'm losing my center, then you go back to the breath, you go back to the posture. Don't expect you could just kind of, stand here upright like John Wayne and then, wade into your greatest horror and just stay cool, calm and collected and figure it out. Don't expect that. It's probably not going to be that way. You want sensitivity in relationship. You want being able to get gently in touch with behind what's behind the things that keep preoccupying your mind. Okay? Good. Let us practice that.